Hey, thanks for tuning in today. This is How I Am Dealing with Grief, episode 3, with Tom Robbins and Shane Simmons.
Yep.
We appreciate you tuning in and listening to Shane ask me questions and me talk a whole lot about, you know, losing my little brother. So today we're going to kind of focus on some specifics on what helped me get beyond the initial debilitating depression that I felt, the sense of missing such a significant piece of myself. So into it we go. All right. So we're going to jump right into it. I think one of the major things that helped me out was my support system.
Yeah. What kind of support system did you have?
You know, really my friends. My lodge brothers. Shout out.
Yeah, for everybody listening, it's the Oddfellows Lodge.
Yeah. Independent Order of Oddfellows, Lorraine Lodge number 4 out of Louisville, Kentucky. Mm-hmm. The whole lodge was tremendous. Everyone reached out. Everyone, you know, whatever you need, we'll help you out.
Absolutely.
You were a tremendous, tremendous part of that.
I hope so.
And I can't, you know, thank you guys enough.
That's what we're here for.
It was pretty impressive of you to drive up for the funeral.
I mean, it felt like the right thing to do.
I know my family, and everyone up there appreciated it very much.
Yeah. I don't know. Part of me thought it might be like a weird situation since I didn't know anybody else up there, but it seemed like somebody should go up there to help support you.
Yeah, it was. It was not expected.
Yeah.
You know, that anyone driving up for it, and just because I know it's, you know, a 5-6 hour drive.
Yeah.
And it, you know, it's tough for everyone to kind of get away. Aside from the lodge, obviously, let's go back to the lodge. Carl, specifically, while we were, while I was dealing with like the front end of that. You know, it may have even been a week or two down the road. He brought up the Pete Foundation. Was like, hey, he called me and said, hey, we've got this thing.
Yeah.
This is what they do. This is what it's focused around. What do you think? And of course, I was guns ablazing at that point. Like, let's do it.
Yeah.
So he sat down and talked to Andrew.
Mm-hmm.
And got some information and then brought it to Lodge, which, you know, one of the biggest things about Lodge for me, I think for a lot of people, is someone explained it to me as, you know, Lodge finds you or you find Lodge when you need it.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I joined Lodge, 3 months, I think it was like 3 months after my dad passed away, which was like 4 months after Nick's dad passed away. I think Nick's dad passed away in November, mine passed in December.
Damn.
So it was, you know, it was really weird to, you know, get in and have that
sort of shared experience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It, you know, it's not a club that I think anyone really wants to belong to.
Yeah, agreed.
So, you know, we had that and, you know, we touched on the last episode about, you know, getting over it or being okay after a couple of days. And that, you know, with my dad, it was a couple of days and I was 3-4 days or whatever and back to work and doing my thing. And, you know, still have those moments. Ooh, what am I missing or what have you? And um, Still, you know, after 3 or 4 days, having those moments, you know, where you miss them, and even now, you know, like, what is, my dad's been gone 6 years now.
Yeah.
I still think about him probably every day.
Yeah.
I still talk to him, which seems like it might be a little weird.
Why is that?
I don't know. Just, I guess I don't know a lot of, I don't know. I've not really been super open with other people about people passing
Yeah.
and their process or anything like that. So if you're listening and you want to have this conversation, shoot me a message. I'm all about it.
Yeah. Yeah, as a matter of fact, I believe they can leave a voice note or a question through Anchor, through the link to
Yeah.
the podcast itself.
There you go. So listen to what Shane said and leave us a, you know, a question or a voice message on Anchor, and let's do something.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious to hear how other people deal with this, what their process is, I guess, because everybody's going to be totally different as far as how they kind of push past it to the point of being like functional
Functional.
again. Yeah.
Yeah, so am I. I think there is, you know, of course we're all different. You know, we all have our own processes, and what I think it would be like everything. What works for one person might not necessarily work for another person.
Agreed.
You know, they might just be at a different place in their grief and need
Yeah.
something just a little bit different.
Yeah. But I mean, having all that stuff out in the open provides people with, I guess, a better toolkit to kind of pick and choose, kind of explore what's going to help them, what's going to work best for them.
Yeah, let them know that that's the reason for this. You
Yeah.
know, like this was my process.
Yeah.
And you know, as I said, what worked for me or is working for me currently might not work for someone else.
Yeah.
You know, I did, in those first few months, well, let's see, probably the first like 3 or 4 months, it was all Lodge and Pete Fest. That's where all my time was. And then, you know, after that's when I started therapy. So that, you know, Lodge and Pete Foundation helped me get to a point where I recognized I needed some sort of therapy.
Yeah.
It was so bad at one point that I seriously contemplated putting myself into a facility for a couple of days
Yeah.
just to kind of decompress and figure out.
Well, dude, if that's what you need, that's what you need.
Well,
Like, there's,
absolutely.
like,
Yeah.
I hate the stigma against like getting help. Like you're less of a person for recognizing that that there's something that you need help fixing. Like there is nothing wrong with that.
Right. No, I wholeheartedly agree.
Yeah.
There, especially with mental health, you know,
Yeah.
there's that stigma, like, oh, well, you're crazy. Well, you know what? We all have our issues,
Yeah.
right? We can look at our political system,
Yeah, right.
you know, all of them have their issues as well. And it's like, you know what? I might be crazy. Might be crazy for talking to, you know, my dad or my little brother since they've passed, but I really don't care.
I mean, I think you might just be crazy if you hear them talking back.
I mean,
In words.
okay.
Never mind. Maybe I'm gonna back away slowly. I think they call that schizophrenia.
Could be, yeah, especially when they tell me about all the people outside who are watching me and stuff.
It's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're peeking in through the light sockets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if that's you out there, sorry. We are not peeking in through the light sockets.
Yeah.
We're using the keyholes.
It's true. True story.
That went down real quick.
Yeah. Anyways.
So, you know, Lodge, Pete Fest, of course, my wife, was a big advocate, like, you need to go to therapy, you need to go to therapy. And
so how early did she start saying that?
Oh, I think she started saying it pretty early.
Yeah.
He passed in April. I would say by May, she was like, hey, you need to go see someone. Talk to somebody. She may have even suggested it initially.
Yeah.
Because it was really debilitating for me.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't want to do anything.
Yeah.
You know, I just kind of wanted to, I guess, sulk or, you know, like try and quote unquote figure it out myself.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, was there like a method to that? Were you like telling yourself, well, I just need to take this time to figure out blah, 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 this is what I'm going to do? Or was it just like a big, heavy blanket, like a fog that just kind of like crushed your daily routine?
I think it was like a mixture.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I know there were days that I was like, you know what? I just need this time. You know, something's going to happen and I'm going to figure it out and I'm going to be okay.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to, you know, I suppose like a lot of depressed folk or, you know, they have that mindset of the burden. Again, something we touched on last time.
Yeah.
Right? I didn't want to be a burden to someone else. So it was very much like, I'll figure this out. Like, don't worry about me. I'll get it figured out. And I'll say with 100% truthfulness, I thought about suicide multiple times a day, every day for weeks. You know, and it was, you know, would it be better if,
like, as an option for you,
for me,
yeah,
right? Would it be better if I just went off, because now I don't have my dad or my little brother, who, you know, it was just us growing up for probably a decade. You know, without them, what is it? And it took me a minute to realize, like, hold on, okay, listen, that's who I grew up with, but I have a family, you know, I have a wife, I have kids, I have...
You've expanded much, much farther out, and your life touches a lot of people around you.
Yeah. Yeah, I've got my chosen family, you know, the lodge, mm-hmm. I've got, you know, my other siblings who I didn't necessarily grow up with, but,
yeah,
you know, still mean the world to me, whether they're, you know, we're mad at each other or not.
Yeah.
You know, they're still a large part of that. And, you know, so obviously, you know, as I sit here today, I didn't take that route.
Yeah.
You know, there were...
Thankfully.
Yeah. Yeah, there were...
I would be real sad about that.
Yeah. You know, I think... I'd like to think that a lot of people would.
I guarantee they would.
You know, I couldn't do it to, you know, like, I know what I'm going through with the loss of Pat.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't, you know.
You don't want to put anybody else through that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there are obviously a lot of factors. You're right, I didn't want to put anyone else through that. The other part of that is, like, he had an 8-year-old son. If I'm not here, you know, who's
going to look out for.
Right. Yeah. I know, like, he had issues with his baby mama.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what they were, you know, like, she, maybe there's a little bit of, you know, jealousy. I don't really know, because when they broke up, she met someone else and got married.
Yeah.
He seems like a good dude. You know, as a matter of fact, I just talked to him this weekend. I talked to both of them this weekend.
Yeah.
You know, and in the conversation, it seems like they're doing the best that they can for PJ.
Yeah.
Cool. I'm with that, because at the end of the day, it's the kid that matters the most.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know? So, you know, probably, I guess, what, 4 months in, I started therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And God, I don't even know. It was probably 3 or 4 months of that before we had like a breakthrough.
Yeah.
You know, and it was, I believe that breakthrough was, I don't remember the stories that we had.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't want to lose that. We touched on a lot of that. We touched on a lot of this in the last episode.
So have you thought any more about, I know we talked about like possibly writing those down, or like whenever you remember something, just kind of keeping a log of that so there's a record of it? Or?
Yeah, I was thinking about that today again. Frankly, I don't have a lot of time to think about it. It's why I've been working on my schedule. Mm-hmm. You know, my buddy, my coach,
mm-hmm.
After our session a couple days ago, was very much like, okay, you really need to, you know, work on your schedule, because a lot of, you know, not just my business life, but my personal life too, is very, I'm going to say, willy-nilly.
Erratic. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I know personally with my schedule, if it gets, I guess, too out of hand with kind of like my sleep schedule getting thrown off, or just kind of things getting jumbled up, it's a bunch of added stress as well that really kind of it makes it harder to really do all the rest of that stuff. Like, it just,
well, yeah, you get anxious. You know, one of the so the coach and the therapist actually suggested getting my schedule in order.
Yeah.
Because I, right before the therapist, I had something come up that was like, I don't know, some business popped up, and then, you know, I had to take one of the kids to something, and then the other kid had something else that I didn't find out about until last minute, and then something else came up, and it was like, oh my God, it was all in a 3-hour window. I had to get all of this done, and I was just like, oh crap, this is not where I want to be. So I'm working on working on the calendar now. I think, I believe, you know, that I get the calendar down, then I become more purposeful with my time.
Yeah.
That will allow me to do a lot of other things,
mm-hmm.
you know, not just, well, I'm going to go and do this today. Oh,
yeah.
You know, and that's a lot of the, probably part of the depression, you know, like.
Yeah, you're stressed out and you feel like you're not really accomplishing what you could and should accomplish. It just, yeah.
Yeah. So it's like things pile up, and then, mm-hmm. you know, I don't want to be a burden to anyone, so I'll figure it out, you know, which.
And you try to do it alone, and then it stresses you out more. And
yeah.
Yeah. You end up kind of isolating yourself. And
yep.
Just makes, and then, everything that much harder.
Here we are.
Yeah.
You know, that it really gets out of control real fast.
It definitely can.
And
I definitely understand.
Yeah. So I really need to, I'd like to coordinate my schedule with my wife.
Yeah.
That will help me out a whole lot, because she, you know, she has a lot going on too, and I don't see her schedule. So if we can coordinate them, mm-hmm. and get on track, then, you know, it will help me plan out the weeks in advance.
Yeah. Because, I mean, going back to talking about having a support system.
Yeah.
Like, being able to be around your support system is definitely going to be, especially with some consistency, is going to be helpful.
Yeah. Yeah, like, if you notice, there were a couple of months that I was like, I just don't want to go to Lodge, and mm-hmm. I might show up once a month, and, you know, we're meeting every week. I think it obviously helps me, you know, to be there. There were a few times that I talked briefly about it, and just all the things going on, And I get it. You know, we all have stuff. Someone actually, I posted on Facebook about, it's probably right after I started therapy. And I posted on Facebook about it, and someone reached out and sent me a message and was just like, "Hey, thanks for saying that. You know, like, I thought I was the only one."
Yeah.
You know, and we're not all alone out there. And it doesn't matter the situation. You know, there is most definitely a group of people going through the same thing that you are.
Yeah. Just, I mean, just from like a numbers perspective, like with the amount of people in the world, there has to be at least a couple other people going through what you're going through.
Yeah.
There's got to be some sort of
Yeah, it goes back
solidarity and
to
support.
Pareto's principle. So Pareto's principle is the 80-20 principle, right? So if you look, what did he do? He found out that there was a logical way to figure out how 20% of the population owned 80% of the land. Further on, later years, other people figured out that, like, if you go into manufacturing, let's take plastics for instance, you can narrow down the amount of issues to 80% of the problems come from 20% of the issues. So basically, 80% of your results are going to come back from 20% of your efforts. And I bring that up because I think when you're going through depression, right, it's you've got, you know, these are the major things. There are, of course, some smaller things, but the majority of, I would say 80% of the people are depressed because of these 20% of the issues. One of those, you know, issues being suicide, or just death of any sort.
So, you mentioned the Pete Foundation earlier. What exactly, like, what specifically about their organization kind of helped you out in that moment?
I would say that it was talking to Molly and Andrew. Molly, of course, is Pete's mother. For those of you that don't know, Pete Foundation was started.
Was it in Louisville, Kentucky?
It was, I believe so. Believe in Louisville. It was started after Pete Jones, I believe, committed suicide, and his family didn't want that death to be in vain. So they started the Pete Foundation, and they had their first Pete Fest, which is a music festival. They had the first one 9 months after his passing, and they grew it, I think, from a couple hundred people. Now there were 1,000 or maybe a little more than that come through in the last, what was it, August, September?
I can't remember.
I don't remember either. It's in August this year, though.
Okay.
They've already started planning for it.
Yeah.
So, for them, it was talking to them, letting me know that, you know, hey, you know, there are other people in our area that went through a very similar situation, and to not give up. You know, I can tell you the first time that I met Andrew and Molly was at Lodge. They came in to talk about the Pete Fest and what they needed and what they do. And that was, you know, I explained to her what happened, and she just said, "Can I give you a hug?" Yeah. You know, it was still pretty fresh, as I get a little tear in my eye now.
Yeah.
You know, still pretty fresh, and to, you know, to have that again, it's another one of those things that I really don't want to be a part of this group. This is a bad, it's not bad. Let me rephrase that. It is not the best way to meet people, right? However, it's very reassuring to know that there's more people out there like you.
Yeah.
They, you know, to do that and then to put our focus into Pete Fest and go there and actually volunteer and be a part of something that the ultimate goal is to help a majority of adolescent folk. Mm-hmm. That's rewarding.
Yeah. So, I mean, would you say that it has, I guess, helped you in some way to, I mean, just to help other people?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I would say that is one of a few catalysts to, like, the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
You know, being able to, they're letting other people know, like, hey, you're not alone in this, you know, and it's okay to have mental health issues,
mm-hmm.
right? Just let's do something about that, or let's, mm-hmm. you know, let's do something about that because, one, you're not alone, and two, we don't want anything bad to happen to you,
yeah.
right? Like, there are people that I don't like in this world. I don't want anything bad to happen to them.
Agreed.
I just don't want anything to do with them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so my thought, I'm sure one of many thoughts was, well, if they can do it, I can do it too. You know, I want to help people. I want people to know, like, hey, there are avenues out there.
Yeah.
You know, there are things that we can do to make everyone better.
Yeah. What are, I guess, if you could condense it into, I guess, a short list, what are the things that you would suggest to people going through something like that right now? Like, if it just happened, what is the checklist that you would suggest to them to get them on track as the best that I guess they can in that situation?
Yeah, well, it absolutely goes back to, you know, what works for one doesn't necessarily work for someone else.
True. I'm asking what you think is the most important.
You know, for me, you know, the most important things to me was my support system.
Mm-hmm.
My family, my blood family, my chosen family. Tremendous help, right? Like, this happened, we're gonna get there. Next. And it depends, I guess, on the significance of the death, you know, how it affects you. I would suggest therapy.
Yeah.
Right? Because for me, it's helping me. And I continue to go.
Yeah. Good.
Have an honest conversation with yourself on the signs of depression.
Not an easy thing to do.
No. That is probably the most important thing is, you know, maybe read something about depression and grief and have a mm-hmm. checklist.
Yeah.
You know, something tangible that you can, like, check off and go, okay, I have that and I have this.
Mm-hmm.
This is, you know, this is what I need to do. Maybe a list is where it needs to be.
Yeah. Maybe enlist the help of part of your support network, whoever is closest to you and that you can kind of open up to, who you know is going to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Who's going to tell you what you need to hear instead of what you want to hear.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's the that's important in every aspect of life.
True.
Is have people are going to tell you that, you know, what you need to hear, not mm-hmm. what you want to hear.
Yeah.
Which, as mad as I get at my wife sometimes,
yeah.
she tells me what I need to hear, not what I want to hear.
Yeah.
You know, same for, I would say, everyone I consider chosen family, right? Like, they're honest with me, you know, and it's obviously not an easy thing.
Yeah.
You know, especially it's not easy to be honest with yourself, especially in those situations.
Yeah. Yeah. Just in general, it's hard to step outside of your own view of the world, like to view yourself.
To be on the outside looking in.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And I would imagine it's even more so when you have the added stress and all that stuff that comes with somebody passing away.
Yeah. Yeah, I think because your focus doesn't go on you, it just goes on. It goes like, what did I, where did I miss out? Mm-hmm. Which I went through.
Yeah, I mean, there's just so much stuff that goes on all at the same time. You're thinking about the past. You're thinking about your daily life goals and stuff that you have to, like, paying your bills and staying on track to go to work and shower and shave and just basic stuff. And then also, like, maybe you have to deal with the expenses of the death itself, the funeral and all that. I mean, just so much.
Yeah.
You're trying to console other people in your circle that are dealing with the same stuff.
Yeah, so. And trying to make sure that, yeah, it's really a lot. You know, it's a lot to take on. That's probably one thing that I was a little, at one point, I was probably a little frustrated with. I couldn't understand why everyone wanted me to take care of the estate. We'll leave that for another episode, though.
Fair enough.
This episode is brought to you by Unbound Sounds. They are a company that sells wireless headphones for all of your depressive needs. I listen to music through my wireless headphones, and they have, it's helped me a tremendous amount with the depression that I have. So if you want to listen to some music and you want some Bluetooth headphones, Unbound Sounds is where you go. The link will be in the episode description, and you can use the checkout code UNBOUND to get free shipping in the US.